about the rich man and Lazarus. In Latin, the rich man is Dives. But he's not given the name here, whereas Lazarus is given a popular name. So Jesus makes sure we know whose side he is on. But this is a parable told by the Lord Jesus as the lover of our souls. It's about absolutely everyone. Either we go to heaven or we go to hell. There are no exceptions, and every one of us is bound for one of those two destinations. And in this parable, the Lord makes it crystal clear that there is no getting out of this fact. So there were two men. Doubtless they were Jewish men in the story. Doubtless they'd both gone to the equivalent of their Sunday school. But one had given up the faith and the other hadn't. But the one who'd given up the faith had given it up so that he might enjoy the things of this life, so that he might enjoy the riches, so that he might enjoy the food, so that he might enjoy the glory of this life. The other man, whom Jesus names Lazarus because he wants us to be on his side, the other man was poor. The other man had to beg. He was so full of sores, he couldn't afford a doctor. And the only people that had any sympathy for him were not people at all, but the dogs. And as dogs were always affectionate, they came and licked the sores that nobody else would go near to. So there are the two men. And on the face of it, you would think that the rich man had the better deal. But as Jesus tells it, in fact, follow Lazarus, because he's the one who got it right. There comes a time in children's lives sometimes when they used to go to Sunday school and then they decided it was babyish and they would give up. And from that time, their life began to go downhill. It does. And there may be time when it's time to leave home. And children or young people decide that they've been held down all the time they've been home. Now they're going away. They're going to live it up. They're going to have cars. They're going to do whatever they want to do with their mates. And it's the way of destruction. It's the broad way, the wide way that most go. But it leads to destruction. So here are two people that stand for us all. Dives and Lazarus. They both die. Jesus gets straight to the point. The beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham was known as all the Jews, to all the Jews, as the father of the faithful. So Abraham's bosom is another word for heaven, but suggests a hug, a welcome. Like in the story of the prodigal son, the father ran to meet the returning son and hugged him. So that's the suggestion. Here's Lazarus. He dies. He was carried by angels into heaven, into Abraham's bosom, given a good welcome, given a good hug, and of course would be there forever and eternal life. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, lift up his eyes. Now, if we could walk round the gravestones here and everywhere else, and know really what the people who were buried there believed, of most of them, you would have to put it in the dramatic words of the Bible. Dead, buried in hell. Dead, buried in hell. The rich man also died, and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, do remember for all this that Jesus is telling the story. He knows, because he came from heaven, the truth about everything. Nothing he says here is exaggerated. It's all absolutely right. And the moment he leaves this world, he arrives in hell. I've often thought about that. He's talking about any man. He's picking out every man who doesn't believe. But from the moment they die, they're in hell. Think how long Cain's been there. Think how long Judas Iscariot has been there. And this man was feeling the weight of it the first day he got there. Who wants to go to hell? Is the having everything you can have in this world, the doing everything you can do in this world, is it worth that price ever and ever and ever in hell? This is what Jesus is saying that people were to consider. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Jesus is not exaggerating. This is exactly what happens. And though, of course, this was not his body, because his body would have been left behind, it's his soul. It's the innermost part of him, the eternal part of him, that is suffering these torments. And in this picture, what makes it worse is that in the midst of this torment, he can see heaven. He can see what he might have had. Worst of all, he could see Lazarus there. I say worst of all, only in the sense, you see, that if we go to hell, it's our generation who believe that we'll see it in heaven. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, he's the father of the faithful, but he'd not been a true Israelite. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Well, we read about those in this morning, the two blind men who cried out, have mercy on me. But they came to the Saviour. This man's left it too late. The condition we're in when we die is what it'll be forever. So if on the way home you were to have an accident and die, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you don't, you'll be straight to hell. Straight to heaven, straight to hell. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice that he thought the old status was going to continue. He was rich, Lazarus was poor. Lazarus was servant status, and he expected that Lazarus could be sent to deal with his torment. It would have been a bit humiliating that a servant, a slave, an evil man, could heal him, but he thought Lazarus could do it. He thought the old order still had effect. Of course it doesn't. The poor will be made rich, the rich will be made poor. The rich in earthly things will know spiritual poverty, and the poor in earthly things will know spiritual riches. And then comes some of the most chilling remarks in the whole of the Bible. This is Jesus, recall, putting the answer into Abraham's mouth as father of the faithful. But this is absolutely chilling. Here you are, you want to be released from hell, you're begging for mercy, and Abraham says, well now, son, remember that in your lifetime you had your good thing. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. Now, he is comforted, and you're tormented. And that's all. Son, thou receivest in thy lifetime good things. Lazarus, evil things. You made your bed, lie in it. This is what you decided you wanted. That's it. Or if you like, it's tantamount to Abraham replied him, so what? Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. It's not the rich men all go to hell, some go to heaven. It's not the poor men all go to heaven. Many get bitter about their situation, go to hell. It was a matter of their belief, and the belief led the one to have a good old time, and the unbelief, led the other to hold on to his faith. Now that was chilling. So what? You've had it. Don't come to me and ask for mercy. Don't expect me to do anything. But beside all this, what's coming? Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So between heaven and between hell, there is a great gulf fixed. They which would pass from one to the other can't do it either way. Between heaven and hell, there is a great gulf fixed. Can't get from heaven to hell, can't get from hell to heaven. You get straight from life to hell, or you get straight from life to heaven. Jesus, of course, is prophesying. He is the great prophet. He knows all things. And he knew what Roman Catholicism was going to teach, that there's an intermediate state. If you pay enough money and you don't go straight to heaven, you can go to limbo. And then after enough money has been spent and enough masses have been said, you can transfer from there into heaven. Bible says, no, you can't. And you suddenly realize how many Roman Catholics are being cheated. All that they teach in that respect is a lie. Jesus says, no, it doesn't happen. It can't happen. How you are when you die is the only route direct to heaven or hell. You can't get from one to the other. There is a great gulf, and it's fixed. No one can pass from the one to the other. So, he tries another tack, does the rich man. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father. Remember that this is the Lord Jesus dealing with the thoughts of people, the arguments of people, and dealing urgently because we all have our one or the other. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He didn't think of his five brothers and the salvation of their souls when they were eating and drinking and faring sumptuously every day. It's only now he's got to hell, he begins to think, well, I don't want them to come there as well. But he can't go back. He's not allowed to go back. And of course this proves that all seances are wrong. Everything that tries to bring back the dead is a great gulf fixed. So he says, well, now I have five brothers. Let him come and testify unto them if I can't. Tell them not to come where I've gone. I suppose it sounds providence. If your Uncle Maud or if your Auntie Maud or Uncle Peter could come back to you and say, I lived a bad life, I lived a terrible life, don't you do that, because you don't want to go to where I've gone. Sounds plausible, doesn't it, that we might believe them. But it's not allowed. It isn't allowed. So what hope is there for his five brothers? Well, says Abraham, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They've got the Bible. In those days, it's the Old Testament. They've got the Bible. The Bible is the word of God, and the whole subject of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the Bible. Believe the Bible. Come to the Lord Jesus. They have Moses and the prophets. They want to go to heaven. Let them hear them. And he says, no. Why would he say no? What's the matter with the Bible? Why does he say, No, Father Abraham, so urgently and so desperately. Well, he knows that they have a copy of the Bible and they've not read it in 40, 50, 60 years. Some of us may have Bibles at home, or not us. Some people have Bibles, their home, their grandfathers, their parents. They have known them all their lifetime. So if that's the way they're going to be saved, what a chance do they stand? They're not going to read it. They might hear the preaching, but it amounts to the same thing. It's an exposition of the word of God. Abraham saith unto him, then Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Very plausible that we might have all our relatives who've gone to hell coming back and warning us not to go to hell. Very plausible, because our young lives won't be any different from their young lives. Though it's very plausible, we're not like to take much notice either. But the Bible, that tells us exactly what is to be done and exactly what God requires. And the only way of salvation and the only name, the Lord Jesus Christ, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And he says, no, no. He knows that they're not going to read it. And he says, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. Again, it sounds very plausible. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So, listening to the Bible, reading the Bible and believing it, coming to the Lord Jesus, is God's chosen way. And if we don't come that way, we can't come at all. It sounds plausible. If one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. But you know, it doesn't take long to see the fallacy of that, does it? Jesus was risen from the dead, and has everybody believed ever since? Oh, no. So that's not the answer, is it? The rising from the dead doesn't bring people to faith. You would have expected every single person that ever lived under that token, because that's what the reference is to here, to his own death, the Lord Jesus. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they're certainly not going to be persuaded, even if somebody rose from the dead, and that's true. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though he rose from the dead, they don't believe he's the only Saviour. It's not an infallible route at all. The only way to be saved is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible reveals. So here is a short and to the point parable of the Lord Jesus that affects every single person that ever lived. There is a light-hearted song in Gilbert and Sullivan. It's worth thinking about. They say that everyone who's born into this world is either a little liberal or a little conservative. Maybe you know your Gilbert and Sullivan. Everybody who is born into this world seriously is either going to heaven or to hell. And everybody who's born into this world won't either be a liberal or a conservative, not even if they're British. But everybody born into this world will be destined either for heaven or for hell. And this parable is so brief, though it encompasses everybody, to be shortened to the point. Surely nobody could miss the significance of what Jesus is saying. And that brings me to my final point. The fact that nobody could miss understanding what Jesus means doesn't mean they'll be saved. So ingrained is evil in the human race that we know what the truth is. We won't necessarily obey it. We won't necessarily follow it. And here is a severe warning of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is only one way, only one Saviour. That's himself. And all else leads to disaster, to death, to eternal pain. And that's not the only time that Jesus, from his own lips, mentions the torments of hell. Remember, where their worm dieth not, and there are other places as well. Oh, may the Lord lead each one of us to a trust in the only trustworthy person there's ever been. Perfect man, perfectly God, forgiver of sins, granter of eternal life, one who raises his people from the dead. Let us put all our trust in him. Amen.